Welcome to this week's edition of Focus Fridays here on WKLM. Focus Fridays is being brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Home Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays, and joining in with me today is the superintendent of West Holme Schools, Eric Jerkovic. So thank you so much for coming in and joining with me today, Mr. Jerkovic.
Oh, you're welcome. It's glad to be here.
And so you are the superintendent at West Holme, like we said in our intro. How long have you been there now?
This is my end of my fifth year.
5 years already?
Yes, it's been 5 years.
It's crazy how time flies.
And I've been in education for 31 years, so this is the end of my 31st year.
So where did you start out at?
I started out at Wadsworth City. I was a high school special ed teacher for 2 years. And then from there, I went to Indian Valley, where I taught elementary, fourth, and fifth grade for a couple years. Then I moved to the middle school and taught seventh and eighth grade social studies. Then I moved to the assistant middle school principal job. Then I moved to the middle school principal when I was in the district about 15 years. Then I went to New Philly as the middle school principal for 2 years and then moved over to the high school principal at New Philly. And I was in that district for 10 years before I came out here.
So lots of long-term gigs for you to really get a feel for the positions you were doing.
Yeah, Wadsworth was only a two-year stint. But, you know, I was newly married to my wife, Kim, so we wanted to start a family. We were living in Wadsworth, so we wanted to move back to the New Philly area because that's where her parents were from. And I'm originally from Canton, so my parents were in Canton. So it's a close drive, so we decided to start looking.
And you taught a lot of different subjects. Was going into a administrative role always on your mind, or did you start out thinking, I'm going to teach until I retire?
Well, I wanted to teach and coach. When I got to Wadsworth City, I coached football and baseball. When I went to Indian Valley, I just coached football. And I always wanted to be a coach. You know, you grew up playing sports. You had my coaches were instrumental in my, you know, just my journey in life. So I wanted to possibly give back to the kids as well. And then at one point, I became an assistant athletic director at the middle school at Indian Valley, and that's, I think, where I found the passion of eventually being a principal. And I knew my ultimate goal someday was to be a superintendent.
So once you got that, that kind of clicked, and you're like, okay, rezone, refocus.
Yeah.
And so to be a superintendent, what all do you have to do?
Well, you have to have so many years as a building principal. And then you have to go get your master's degree in administration, and then you can get your superintendent's license, which is additional classwork. And I did all of mine through Ashland University. At the time I was doing it, I was at the Maslin campus at the RG Drag. Mm-hmm. So I don't know that it's still there, but yeah, it's been a while ago. I mean, I started as soon as I graduated from my undergraduate Muskingum and I got my job, I kind of just started taking classes here and there. Just to get my master's because, you know, some people don't know that the more education you have as a teacher, you can move up the pay scale. So you have your bachelor's, then you have your bachelor's plus 150, then you have your master's. Some have master's plus 150. So, you know, as you slide with years, if you're in a column more to the left or the right, you get more money. So that was kind of, you know, and that all builds towards your retirement. So,
and you can get more lucrative positions. Mm-hmm. And
correct.
And
more
like
education.
That.
You can be a curriculum director, special ed, student services, you know, superintendent, athletic director. You know, there's all those things that you can do to better yourself in education.
And as a teacher, you want to keep learning as well. Like, you don't want to stop.
Well, yeah, you hope so, yes. You hope as teachers they continue to learn and grow, whether it's through your guidance, the principal's guidance, but yes, you want them to grow as well.
Now, once you get into that superintendent role, do you have to do any continuing credits or anything like that?
Every 5 years when I renew my license, I have to have at least either 6 hours of classes or 180 CEUs, which are professional development days that we do throughout the year. We give the teachers CEUs for their time, whether it's in workshops or meetings. But I usually just go take classes. It's a lot easier. I can take a 3-week or 4-week class at Ashland or even online and be done with it rather than have to keep all my certificates from all those meetings and log them in. It's a lot easier just to call the college up and say, hey, I need to copy my transcripts. I'm renewing my license.
And so the West Holmes superintendent, that was your first superintendent gig.
This is my first superintendent gig, yes. Yes, it was.
And it is. Feeling yes. Good?
I am feeling very good, yes. As I tell people, it's a very different community. It's a caring community, a loving community, and it's a great place to be. Their support. If you need anything, if we need anything for kids, the community is always there. All you have to do is ask.
Very different from like a city setting.
Correct. Yeah, I could be in a city that has 15,000 kids or 7,500 kids and, you know, multiple people underneath me that I need to take care of. But, you know, I think this was a good first superintendent's job and hopefully my last superintendent's job.
That's a good feeling to feel like you can stay here and have that longevity.
Yeah, next year being 32, I will be eligible for retirement, but that's not in my plans at this point.
There's still a lot to do at West Holmes.
There is still a lot to do, and I have a lot of great ideas. And, you know, I'm hiring some great team members that to see the vision that I see and the things that we can accomplish at West Holmes. And that's even more exciting.
And I'm sure we'll learn about some of that as we continue on in our interview here. That is Eric Jerkovic, the superintendent for West Holmes School District. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We are returning with West Holmes Superintendent Eric Jerkovic. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And we learned how you got into the position at West Holmes. Now, as a superintendent, especially currently with multiple buildings and things, there probably isn't a same day routine for you all the time.
No, as some people say, each day is a lot different than the other. I mean, my routine in the morning is usually the same. I usually come in, and I usually have a chapter book that I try to read a chapter before I look at emails, return phone calls. As I've learned from prior superintendents and friends of mine, that you don't want to start your day off sometimes with emails or return phone calls, because sometimes those might upset you and not put you in the right mindset for the rest of the day. So I've been pretty good that when I come into the office, you know, I take about half hour, 45 minutes and read a chapter in a book. And then I start, you know, go get some coffee, you know, talk to Lisa, my secretary, maybe Dawn, food service, if she's there. I go down and talk with Jamie, just a morning hello, and just make my way around the office. And then come back up and kind of dive into emails or articles that were sent to me that I need to read and go from there. As the day progresses, you know, I usually reach out to the building principals, just check in with them, see how they're doing, and or make a visit to the building, all depending on what I'm getting myself into in the office. I might not just need that break just to get away and, you know, just have a little thank you walk or, you know, a drive just around the district just to, you know, clear my thoughts and my mind before I come back.
And it's good to get out and see what's going on in the building, interact with the teachers, the students.
Yeah, it's always, you know, that's one of the good things about being a superintendent, the freedom of, you know, like, I might be working on a project for the board or something that I need to do for my administrative meeting that we have monthly. But if I'm just bogged down and tired of doing it, I can just get up and say, I'm coming back to this. I'm going to go drive or come up to Millersburg, you know, drive out to the high school, middle school, and walk around, talk to teachers, see kids. And sometimes it's during lunch, so I sit down, I buy lunch out of the cafeteria and sit down and eat lunch with the kids and just kind of, you know, have a little fun.
And that's a good thing. They know who you are. They see you. You interact with them. Mm-hmm. You're not just hanging out in the administrative building in Millersburg and not having that interaction.
Yeah, and it's also good, too, like when you watch them in a sporting event or you see them in a play or a choir concert, just to, you know, have that conversation rather than, oh, how's your grades? What are you doing? You know, it's, hey, I saw you in the play. You know, hey, you hit that part to a T. You were in the right character, and you should have been that, you know, that, and, or, hey, I was at the musical, heard your solo. It was phenomenal. It was great. Saw you at the basketball game or volleyball game. And, you know, just to give them that little bonus that we are watching them not just only in the classroom.
And you're watching them as people, too. You recognize mm-hmm. who they are, and that's important. They feel like more than just a number in the building.
Correct. And then they can, you know, I mean, a lot of them joke around with me, usually during the winter when snow days come around. But they see me in the hallway and say, hey, snow day tomorrow? What do you think?
And you're like, no.
And I always say, well, would you like to get up at 3:30 and drive around with me? But I mean, just that interaction. And I mean, they know that I'm human. And I know that, you know, they're human. And it, just that interaction of, you know, don't be afraid just because I'm the superintendent.
And you mentioned snow days. Snow days have really changed since COVID on how they're looked at and done. You got work at home days now that kind of count, but you still got to go out, and that's part of your job in
yeah.
the winter.
Yeah, usually November-ish, I have a conversation with Karina Johnson, our transportation director. So we just kind of, at that point, we start watching the weather. We may know 2 or 3 days in advance that, hey, there looks like there's going to be some freezing rain or there's going to be some snow. And then I'll always double check with her the day before, like, it doesn't look too good, but we're going to get up. And she's like, yeah, so we'll get up. And she has a route. I have a route. Our mechanic, bus mechanic, has a route. So we're in 3 to 4 different parts of the district. So it's not like we're just looking at the Nashville area or the Kilbuck area. I'm more of Millersburg. I go up around the Airport Ridge. Mikey, our mechanic, does the Kilbuck. And Karina lives over by Lakeville, Nashville, so she can do that area. She's also calling the county garages, state trucks, where are they at? When are they going to get out to start salting? And then we'll talk to East Holmes. I'll talk to the superintendent. She talks to the transportation coordinator. I talk to Riverview. I talk to Loudonville. And it's just that conversation of, because we have, some people don't know that, I mean, West Holmes School District goes down into Coshocton County. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we have some roads down there. So I call Chuck Rinkus from Riverview and, you know, say, well, how's it look down there? And he goes, not really good. And then we have the discussion of, okay, what are you going to do? I'll talk to Karina again. Karina will say, you know, she'll evaluate it. Hey, you know, Lakeville, Nashville, these roads are not very good. I tried to go up this hill. I stopped in the middle just to see if I could go. And she goes, it's not very good. So at that point, my question is, well, what do you think? And 9 times out of 10, you know, she's like, I don't think we can do it today. Or let's start with a 2-hour delay because we're also watching the weather pattern. So if we see it maybe 6 o'clock, the snow will be done. We can do a 2-hour delay. So then it's 9:30 and I believe 11 or 11:30 for the elementary. That'll give us time for the salt trucks to get out. And then we would go back out at 6:30, 7 o'clock and make another round and say, are they any better? Are they any worse? Are we okay? And then we call both East Holmes, Loudonville, and say, this is what I think we're going to do. So, and then they'll say, yeah, we're not looking too good over here either. So we'll either decide to close or 2-hour delay. Now, I've tried to shy away from the 2-hour delays because sometimes it's a burden on families. So, yeah. You know, if you know your kid's going to get picked up at 6:15 and all of a sudden at 5:30, you're getting a phone call that says, hey, West Holmes is going to be on a 2-hour delay. Then that, you know, now I'm scrambling for babysitting or how am I going to get who's going to watch my elementary kid? And so it's not a definite no, I'm not going to do 2-hour delays, but I also understand the pressure and that it puts on families.
You're not going to abuse the 2-hour delay.
Correct. And there are some instances where, you know, we've had instances, I think last year, the couple years before, where, you know, our buses hit the road about 5:30. Mm-hmm. So it's good at 5:30, but then at 6:30, 6:45, it hits. And, you know, now my bus driver, my bus coordinator Karina is calling me going, what are we going to do about the elementary? What are we going to do about the elementary? And sometimes my conversation is, well, we've already hit the heart of the storm. Mm-hmm. So now we just need to figure out, can we make it and get those kids in safely the elementary routes on a regular time? Because I don't want to then say, oh, now the elementaries are on 2-hour delay. Here again, you put the burden back, you know, the pressure on the parents. But I will tell you that our bus drivers are phenomenal. They're pretty good at finagling the roads and being cautious, and they do communicate with their parents very well that, like, hey, I'm running 5 minutes behind, I'm running 10 minutes behind. So they communicate well with their parents in that aspect as well. So, and they're not going to, they're going to be cautious. So they're cautious when they're out on the road. So we have some of those days where it snows for 2 days and we're out and then we're coming back. Some of those township roads and county roads aren't ready to be driven. So, and they know which ones they are.
They know their routes. They know
Has anybody ever been up on Baker Ridge? Baker's Ridge Road is like, it's, it's talk, and you go up there in a car and you go, wow. But then imagine driving a bus there. Yeah. Yeah. It's, you know, and I take my wife around every once in a while. We just start driving and we get on some of these township roads and I go, this is why we don't have school. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the number one thing is kids' safety, because not only are we transporting them, kids are driving.
Correct.
Unfortunately, when I was in Indian Valley, there was a day that it was questionable, and we went, and we had a young lady pull out and get hit by a bus, and she passed away. And from that day forward, our superintendent just decided, like, I'm never doing a two-hour delay again. I'm not. It's either yes or no. And I don't want to be that person. That's a hard situation to deal with.
For sure. And that's
yeah.
It's a lot to worry about. You are not just in charge of the safety of the kids in the buildings, but getting them there and getting them home.
Well, we also have, I mean, I have 300 staff members that are driving to work.
And they come from all over.
And they do. So they're not just Holmes County. Some live in Worcester, some live in Loudville, some live as far as New Philly. We have one that lives in Wadsworth.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, I don't have a set time when I call, but my philosophy is the earlier I call school, the better the parents can plan for the situation.
And the better for WKLM also.
Correct. Correct. So, yes. And I will put a plug in. We are going to Parent Square next year. Currently, we're on one call. So, we're going to Parent Square next year, which is a one-size-fits-all. So, all the buildings. So, we won't have Class Dojo anymore. The Remind apps. You know, one call, it'll just be Parent Square that everything can go out. Plus, that'll connect to our Facebook and Twitter. And so once I put out a message, then I don't have to get on every social media piece and send out another message. So
that'll be a great resource for everybody.
Yeah, it will be. It will be.
Well, we've got so much more to learn about superintending at West Holmes. That is West Holmes Superintendent Eric Jurgovic. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We are stepping back in here with Superintendent for West Holmes Eric Jurgovic. I'm Melissa Patrick with WKLM's Focus Fridays, and we learned a little bit about your day as normal as you would call it, but there's also a lot of meeting with your heads that as a superintendent, you need to be on top of as well.
Right. I'm in charge of the maintenance supervisor, the bus supervisor, food services, special services director. I'm not really, I'm in charge of Jamie, the finance, but we just kind of talk a lot. I also have my two secretaries that are in the building. One works with student EMIS, the other works with staff EMIS. So, and also my building principals. So we have a monthly meeting once a month, and all the supervisors are invited. Yeah, but most of the time, there's other times that I need to meet with them. Like currently right now, I'm meeting a lot with Karina because she's getting bus routes done. And
because you got to change everything.
Yes and no. For the new elementary, yes. But, so we're looking at bus drivers that are retiring, that aren't coming back. Who's going from an elementary route now to a middle school, high school route. So I'm going to say she's probably almost 90%, 85 to 90% done, which
awesome.
Is a lot better than where she was last year.
Cool.
So I can kudos to her for planning a little better, but we kind of sit down and we look at them. And my questions to her are, these two buses are going on the same road. Why don't they pick up more kids? And hers sometimes, well, this bus is going here to go get, you know, these kids, because that's the route that they have to take. So, and then I talk with Mitch. Mitch Neese is our buildings and grounds supervisor. So when things break in the building or I'm out visiting buildings and, you know, I go, when are they going to cut the grass in Millersburg? Or they need to pick the weeds. Or, you know, I was walking down the sidewalk and the handrail's loose. Or I was in the building and I saw this. And or he'll come to me and say, hey, this is broken or this needs fixed. Or we're looking at this part because we're trying to do some preventative maintenance. So we have those conversations often because, you know, in when you have four buildings. Older buildings, you worry every day what's going to work. And then, you know, I have Don Martin, our food services. So that's, you know, that's minimal sometimes, but we look at her finances and her how many kids are eating a month. And my biggest thing with her is I always ask her, like, what's the most popular meal? Because now you have four buildings going to one. So, like, what's the most popular meal at each campus? Because some people don't know, like, our buildings all cook their food at those buildings. Most districts, they have a centralized kitchen, and then they ship them out for to reheat. But we are very fortunate that we have kitchens in all the school buildings that cook their own food. So we'll just talk about that, and, you know, we'll look at what the highest day was at a school and why aren't we feeding that, you know, more. So if pizza is the number one seller, well, why aren't we serving that at least once a week if kids like that?
So is that the number one seller?
I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. We haven't had that conversation.
Yeah, we really haven't had that. I mean, we have a lot of, I mean, chicken nuggets. They like tacos, you know, walking tacos. And it all depends on the kid, too. But then, you know, I'll talk with Carrie Maltritz, our special ed student services director. We talk about services for our kids, special needs kids, or we have behavior kids or kids on IEPs, and how are we doing with RTIs and those things. But then there's always my building principals that I'm looking at, you know, staff attendance. We talk about discipline. And sometimes it's just a check-in with them, just to, how are you doing? Like, so many times we get into that mindset of when I'm at the building, it's building, school, rather than person. What's going on with you as a person, you know? Let's just talk about you. Sometimes I have to redirect them because we'll start talking about that, and then they'll go, oh, let me tell you about this. I'm like, no, we just need to, you know, take a break, take a deep breath.
Quit avoiding.
yeah. And then, you know, I have weekly conversations, daily conversations with Jamie, and we're looking at finances. Or if I'm hiring somebody, you know, I'm always going to Jamie and saying, listen, I'm looking, there's a need. This person is leaving. There's a need for this position. How are we doing? Or nobody's leaving, but these are the kind of kids that are coming that we need to service. You know, what's the possibility? How can we make this happen? Or when I'm talking with curriculum, with Kiana Lepla, she wants certain curriculum. Well, how much does it cost? Let's have a conversation with Jamie. Let's look at our curriculum budgets and you know, let's start planning. Because some people don't understand, when school starts in August, usually middle of September, we start talking about next year. Like, I'll start saying, okay, what did we do that was great in August in the opening of school? I start looking at the school calendar for the following year, so then I can get that to the board to approve it. And so there's a lot that goes on that some people just don't understand.
Like, it's just like an event. You have the event, and then within a month, you're starting the planning for the next event.
Correct. And then I also have a folder that I sit on my desk that has monthly activities and things that I do, the check mark. And then if I either find something new that I need to do, I just add it. So when I retype that or add it to my list for the new one, it's already there. So then I'm looking at that going, okay, here's the things that need to be done in September. Because there's also a lot of checklists and data that we need to upload into the Ohio Department of Education. Monthly, yearly, like year-end reports right now are coming. So we're trying to keep on track of them. I'm going in and once Jamie talks to me and says, hey, there's a lot of requisitions, so bills that we need to pay, there's a lot of them sitting out there, you need to approve those. So then I'll go in and approve those as well. But, you know, those are just personal conversations and just talking with people and finding out what's going on. And they're pretty good to reach out to me. So I might not talk to them on a Tuesday, but they may reach out to me and say, hey, just this is what happened today, this is what's going on, you know, just giving you a heads up, or, you know, I want to think through this. Let's talk about this because I don't know that I'm thinking straight or how I handled this situation was the right way to handle the situation. So
it's good communication. It's important.
Yeah, and communication is hard because the problem is you have to find time and you have to put other things to the side to take care of it. I read a book called The One Thing. I can't think of who the author was, but basically what it says is we're in a mindset where we have our to-do list mm-hmm. and we want to check all those boxes. Well, that book says you one thing at a time. If my one thing is working on the school calendar, I'm going to work on the school calendar till I get it done or till I feel I'm confident it's where I'm at. Or you're doing this because so many times people come into your office, your phone rings, they want to interrupt you with a question, and then you start doing another thing. You forget about that one thing and you start something else.
Sounds like my day every day.
Yes. So you know, that was one of the great books I read. And then The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins is another great book for leadership and or just your personal life, because we get caught up sometimes with feeling what other people think, or you know, you make a decision and then everybody's going to hate me for this decision. Well, her theory is let them. You do what you do. You do what's your why, you know, and that's why you're doing it. And just let them be that way. So that's kind of the theory that I've taken, that, you know, they can't please everybody.
Never.
Especially as a superintendent, like what you think is the right decision is the right decision for 33 people. 33 other people don't like it, and then there's 33 people that just don't, okay, whatever. So I just, okay, I'm going to make the decision and let them think what they want to think and go on with my day.
Because ultimately that's what you were hired for as superintendent, to make those hard decisions. And
unfortunately, yes, that's what you are, and some are easy, but some are difficult. And then that's when I either reach out to other superintendents in the area, because I have my trust circle of my other superintendents, or I'll reach out to a board member and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking, this is what's going on. I don't need you to say yes, no, or what do you think? And I just need you to listen to me and say, am I on the right track? And if you say I'm not on the right track, then I need to go back to square one and go, okay, what do I need to do? How do I reverse it, or how do I think of another way to do what I need to do? So.
And the nice thing about the board members is a lot of them have been in the area. They've known the families. They know the district. They know the kids just as well as you do. So they understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and they may know them better than me. but yeah, you're right. I mean, if I'm dealing with a certain family, you know, they may say, you know, understand the family's dynamics or the family's background. Or, you know, a lot of the times, too, some of the decisions that we make is, what is the kid going through? Like, what baggage is that kid coming to school with? Because not everything is hang them at the town square, you know.
How can we make it better here?
Well, and the thing is, too, you got to provide grace. You know, you got to provide grace. And kids make mistakes. Kids make poor choices.
They're learning.
Kids do it under pressure. They do it, you know, because they want to be part of a group. They want to fit in. But, you know, there was one kid that I could tell you, graduated this year, got in some trouble, and had to come and see me, which is not always a good thing. And I showed him grace, and, you know, we talked about his plan and gave him a second chance. And he actually seeked me out at graduation in front of his family, you know, thanked me for giving him another opportunity. And those are the kind of the situations and the things that when I make those decisions, I appreciate, because I see the kids saying, you know what, this guy did give me a second chance.
It means something.
And you know, now hopefully he'll pay it forward. So if someone does something to him, he'll say, you know what, I was given a second chance in life for what I did. Now I can do it for somebody else.
And that's a good thought process to have.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well, we've got so much more to talk about here on A Focus Fridays. That is Superintendent Eric Jurkovic for West Holmes. I'm Melissa Patrick for WKLM's Focus Fridays. We're going to get back here with West Holmes Superintendent Eric Jurkovic, and I am Melissa Patrick with WKLM's Focus Fridays. And throughout the previous segments, you've kind of heard us mention, but West Holmes is getting the new elementary school prepared for this coming school year, where all the elementaries come together. And so that is a big project that you as a superintendent have been working on for quite a while, to get to this point where we can say, we're ready to have you come check it out.
Yeah, it's been a process, and it's hard to believe that it was 3 years ago that we made that decision to build a K-5 elementary school.
Yeah. 3 years ago?
It's been about 3 years.
Wow.
2.5, 3 years, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, and that started before then. So you could say it's almost a four-year process because, you know, we started with a focus group of 50 community members, and it was those same 50 community members that we then brought into our building group that we, you know, visited each of the elementary buildings in the middle school and talked about different plans and opportunities and how we're going to finance it and was it a levy, isn't a levy. And then once we decided on our plan, then we had four or five community meetings because we had one at Kilbuck, I think Lakeville or Nashville, Millersburg, and then the middle school. And then we had a final meeting at the high school and rolled out our plan to the community. And after the board approved the plan and the way we were going to go, we decided to then we got into the design and development process, which takes a year. And that's just the configuration of the building. What do you want it to look like? How many classrooms? So then once you just do the floor plan, as we look at it as, then it's you get into the how many desks, what were the lockers, you know, security things of that nature. And that was our core principals group.
Mm-hmm.
So the elementary principals, special services, curriculum, we were all part of that. And we met every month, and usually it was a half a day with the architects, and they would bring us designs and say, okay, how about this? And we'd go, you know, we were thinking about we want this. And they would say, okay, I'll come back and let's work on that. Or some of them would be able to just change it right then and there. Or, you know, every kindergarten classroom has a restroom in it. So how big does a restroom need to be?
And nice.
So, you know, the building is about 110,000 square feet. Ooh. So it'll house.
It's an okay building, size building.
Well, if you want to put it in perspective, the high school is about 200,000.
Okay.
So it's almost half the high school. And a high school building looks enormous when you come over that hill.
Mm-hmm.
So once we got into that, then we got, you know, you get into colors and your flooring and paint colors. And
those end of the line details.
Oh, yeah. Because then it's like, okay, what color do you want this? What color should this be? And
like, just pick a color.
Well, we at first, when they came to us, they had hallways different primary colors.
Mm-hmm.
It's an elementary building. And then we thought, well, you know what? We're red, white, and blue. We want red, white, and blue.
Exactly.
So
those are good colors.
Yeah,
to
that's our primary colors in a building is red, white, and blue. You'll see some gray in the hallways and the halls. There is a little bit of light blue in the restroom flooring and things of that nature. But, you know, that the fabric on the chairs, the types of desks, the types of chairs, the types of teacher desks, teacher chairs. I mean, the things that you don't necessarily think of, you're like, oh, another meeting. We got to pick out desks.
Well, but that can affect learning.
It can. So what we did was we got some samples that got sent to Millersburg, and they were in Millersburg for a week, and then they went to Kilbuck, Lakeville, Nashville. Teachers had the opportunity to sit in them, look at the design of them. And then we put a thing out to vote, and here's a majority of what they wanted, and it was the same. Kindergarten is tables and chairs because mm-hmm. they do a lot of stuff, and then first or second through fifth are desks and chairs. So, and they're all the same. So if I'm in room 105 the first year, and maybe I don't need to be in 105 because the amount of kids, and now I got to teach a different grade level. Same desks and chairs.
Uniform.
Correct. I don't want this teacher going, well, one thing we did want is, well, I want this, and I want that, and I want this. I mean, we had to talk about classroom rugs and marker boards, and did kindergarten teachers want rocking chairs and bookshelves and movable bookshelves? And, I mean, there's a lot that went into it. Yeah, but it's coming to a close, and we're on time, and we're getting things pretty much going.
It's coming to a close so that they can come open.
Yes, eventually. Yes, 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 yes. And I have a tentative date set at this point. I'll know for sure next month. I meet monthly with the construction company, but I mean, I also go out there. I was out there the other day. I was out there, you know, when they call and say, hey, we got a question about the school sign down by the road. Come and look at this. Come and, so, you know, I drive out there and, yeah, I don't know if it should go there. Maybe we should put it over here. And our meeting was in the building the other day and it was freezing in that building. So the air conditioning is working.
The kids will be toasty no more.
I hope so. Yeah. No, don't complain about it being cold. Yeah, not at all.
And you'll have the drive off of 754.
Yeah, they're actually working right now, moving the electrical poles. So once they move the electrical poles, the first week of July, they'll start the deceleration turn lane going north. They're on 754, and then that'll be the main entrance for the building. Now the buses will come in off the high school route and they'll come in through the back. So the buses drop off will be in the back. All parent and student will be in the front.
That'll be nice to keep them separated.
Yeah, because it, you know, as people will say, the high school traffic pattern is, it's not perfect, but
it has improved.
It is pretty good. You just need to follow it and be patient.
Which is two very important
Correct.
Things.
And you know, what I say to people is, it's 10 minutes. Like, if you go through it, you may be there 10 minutes.
Which is pretty good for a school line.
Correct. So, but as the year progresses, you know, people get better and they figure out different ways to finagle around it. But, you know, rather than it just being, whoo, here we go. And hats off to Karina because, you know, she kind of helped put that together as well.
There's a lot that goes into keeping kids safe.
Yes, there is.
You're yes, like, there is. Yes.
Yes, most definitely. Most definitely.
All right. Well, we've got more to learn about what goes on at West Holmes and what Superintendent Eric Jerkovic does. I'm Melissa Patrick with Focus Fridays on WKLM. Welcome back to Focus Fridays here on WKLM. I have Superintendent Eric Jerkovic for West Holmes. I am Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays here on WKLM, and we just were chatting about the whole process of getting the new elementary building, and then that leaves the old elementary buildings.
Yes, the four elementary buildings. As you know, the board stated that they are going to auction all four buildings off, so we're working with Kaufman Realty currently at this point to create a timeline as to when we are going to auction them off. We are going to try to auction them and have them all out of our possession by December, which then we don't have to heat them and, you know,
and then that plow ends
driveways.
The year
right, ends the year. And so we are, teachers have packed all their curriculum, are currently packing any of their personal items, things that need to be moved. We're taking the security cameras, because the security cameras in the old buildings are maybe a year, 2 years old, so we're putting those in the new building.
You got those in a safety grant, I believe.
Yes, we did. McClintock, who's got the contract for the new building, is in charge of moving them. We'll move the PA system out of Millersburg, because that's brand fairly new. And then every teacher the last couple years got a kidney-shaped table, that like a marker board table, mm-hmm. We're going to move those. The maintenance will move those to the new buildings, and then
I'm sure he's excited about that move of those tables.
Well, we'll get into that later. But then they all have Clever Touches, which are the smart boards. Mm-hmm. So we're going to McClintock was in charge of moving them to their classrooms as well. So it's been a stressful 2 months, to say the least. I mean, there's a lot of, you know, I don't want to say crying, but emotional points. I mean, a lot of these teachers have been in these buildings for
their whole career.
Yeah, 30 plus years. And they've been in the community since the early 1900s. So I get the sentimental value piece to that. We're scheduled to hopefully move all their stuff the first week of August. Hint, hint, as far as possibly an opening of the building. The first. That's a little hint. I've got U-Hauls that we've rented, one for each building. It's about 26 feet long, and, you know, get some of the community members have reached out, churches have reached out, how can they help? So if I can get all moved in there that first week of August, we talked to Kaufman about giving them the buildings maybe sometime in October. Mm-hmm. That'll give us time then to go through the buildings, make sure that they're somewhat picked up and cleaned, and look to see if there's things that teachers should have taken, they've forgotten, or they think that we should get rid of that we don't necessarily need to get rid of. You know, there's some nice signs that are in the buildings mm-hmm. from the old, you know, memorabilia stuff that we're going to possibly, we have a history wall at the new building. Our old class photos in Kilbuck, Millersburg, mm-hmm. I did get those scanned, so they're all digitized. And if anybody, we've had multiple people reach out that, you know, my mom or grandmother are in one of those photos, just reach out to the board office, talk to Jill or Lisa, we'll put you on the list, and you can have it. Like, we're not selling them. If you choose to want to have it, you can have it.
It's a way to help preserve the history.
It is. And, you know, some of here again, the sentimental piece, you know, my mom or dad was in that photo, and put it in your basement, put it in your, you know, foyer or wherever. But then we can use those, the digitized pieces. We'll have a TV screen outside the office that we can run just the pictures mm-hmm. constantly, and other things that we've taken pictures of in the old buildings can just run periodically throughout that time. But we're looking at possibly, if we give them the buildings in October, possibly November-ish, maybe starting with the first building, and we have talked about either a week or 2 weeks between. So let's say if Millersburg goes first, and we're auctioning all the contents off that's inside. So we are taking some of the kitchen furniture and some of the other stuff, but anything that's in the buildings that from the teachers, I mean, it's going to get auctioned off as well through it all. Everything's going to be online. So we're not having an in-person auction and walking around. And so they'll do the building one day, the contents will end the next day. And then maybe the next week or a week after, another building will go up. And we talked about that because, you know, if somebody has an interest in a building and they don't get, say, Millersburg, that's the building they want, they're not all being auctioned at the same time, so they got to put four different bids in. They can say, well, you know what? We didn't get Millersburg. We didn't get Lakeville. We didn't get Nashville. Let's look at another building. Okay, mm-hmm. Is that a possibility for us? And then hopefully once they're all auctioned off, they're free and clear. The contents, that if anybody doesn't, you know, buy the contents, it goes with the building. So whoever buys the building gets whatever's left in there. So, yeah. Surprise!
But Kaufman will set up times too, I'm sure, where if you are interested in a building, you'll be able to go in and
yeah, and even and if it's through. Not through Kaufman's and they want to, I mean, I'm going to say last year, the year before, I took a group of gentlemen through Nashville and Lakeville because they were interested in it. They thought, okay, if we can buy it, I don't know if they were going to turn it into a school building, a church, but then they, you know, noticed like some of these buildings aren't handicap accessible. So, mm-hmm. you know, you've got a big chore of putting in an elevator or putting in ramps and just the upkeep with the boilers and the electrical. And so, you know, if we can get those off our hands there before December, then we're free and clear and we can go from there.
And if anybody has any questions about the building, what it costs to heat it or, mm-hmm. or, you know, quirks and mm-hmm. whatever, you guys are more than willing to give those answers.
Yeah, they can reach out to Jamie, our treasurer. She'll be able to give them a monthly kind of an idea that, hey, it costs us $15,000 to heat Millersburg every month. And then, you know, the surprise of the community is, holy mackerel. So when they get a bill, when they get their heating bill in the winter and go, oh, it's 500 some bucks, they go, well, it could be Millersburg. You know, it could be the school district. So, yeah, she'd be more than happy to talk about the electrical, you know, the heating. Can't say cooling because none of them have air conditioning, but just some of those.
So that's
things.
A note. None of them have air conditioning.
None of them have air conditioning, no. Awesome. But it's exciting, and, you know, it's a new transition into that new building and bringing everybody together. And, you know, we did the reading under the lights, Knights United, so all the elementaries were involved. Had many sponsors. Every kid got a t-shirt through Shoemaker t-shirts over in Berlin. So everybody got a t-shirt that said Knights United, and, you know,
it was a great attendance. Pictures were fabulous.
Yeah, it was a really good turnout. It was a little disappointing because of rain. We were hoping to have it on the football field, but, you know, weather is always an issue, but it was a great turnout, and the committee that planned it did a really good job.
And all the schools have had farewell parties, essentially, mm-hmm. for the community to come. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people post pictures about how it was good to get through one mm-hmm. last time. And mm-hmm. so, us adults get sentimental, too, sometimes.
Yep.
Kids are no kids. Mm-hmm. Went through seeing both of my elementaries, mm-hmm. all three of my elementaries go down. So
yeah, when I was in Canton City, my elementary that I went to, Fairmont Elementary, was closing. So we had a reunion. I went, and you know, you saw old classmates and talked to old teachers. And it was funny, when I was taking a seminar through Ashland last year, one of the gentlemen that sat at my table, his dad was actually my principal at my elementary school.
Nice.
Yeah. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting.
All right. Well, we've got one last time here with Eric Jerkovic, the superintendent of West Holmes Schools. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. We've got our last segment here with West Holmes Superintendent Eric Jerkovic. I'm Melissa Patrick for Focus Fridays on WKLM. And we've learned a lot about what you do as a superintendent, what the schools are doing. And you've mentioned different times where you can reach out to other superintendents. And you guys do have like a superintendent groupie meeting thing, right? That's one way to explain it.
Yes, we have a superintendent's groupie meeting. Yes. No, we meet. We're part of the Tuscarawas County Educational Service Center, the ESC there. And they have monthly meetings as superintendents. They have monthly curriculum director meetings. They have monthly treasurer meetings. They have monthly student service meetings, monthly principal meetings. So every leadership, even the bus coordinator, there's meetings that they can go to, you know, just as superintendents, we get, you know, state updates, anything the ESC is trying to put together for all the districts that they are a part of or a part of the ESC, whether it's math tournaments, reading nights, you know, social workers, things, services that they are providing us or they want to provide us. But it also gives us, you know, as superintendents, a chance to just digress at things that are happening within our district that maybe somebody else asks questions. Well, what is everybody else doing? Or, you know, when COVID was around, that was the hot topic. What are you doing in this situation or that situation? Or how are you doing your online learning? Or, you know, are you alternating days? And, you know, now recently it's how are you finding bus drivers? How are you keeping bus drivers? How do you find substitute teachers?
So if anybody's interested.
Yeah, just reach out to Lisa, Lisa McCulley at West Holmes Local Schools. So those are just things that, you know, and the changes in the states and the requirements that, you know, we have to do through the state, just those kind of conversations. Usually it's, you know, half a day. Sometimes it's all depending on what. Sometimes we go to Cambridge. Sometimes we go to just the New Philly. I'm also part of the Buckeye Association of School Administrators, which is a superintendent's group. That's the state group, and I'm fortunate. When I got the job at West Holmes, they have a beginning superintendent's seminar and program that you go through for a year. So, you know, we would meet a couple days every other month, go down and just talk about issues, planning, things that you're going through, just that network of new superintendents. And then they hold monthly or bi-monthly meetings in your region. You know, they give law updates. Some of the salespeople come in and talk about programs that they're selling. But here again, in the East region, gives us an opportunity to talk more with St. Clairsville, Shadyside, you know, Buckeye Trail, Cambridge, Zanesville, those types of superintendents. And then you can be part of a subcommittee, which could be curriculum, could be law updates. It could be, I'm part of the OHSAA committee. So I go down twice a year and meet with the OHSSA commissioner, and he tells us what's going on, goes over finances. But there are also, you know, OHSSA meetings for athletic directors, principals, and superintendents of updates. What are we voting on? Like, mm-hmm. you know, there were just a lot of referendums to vote on through Ohio High School Athletic Association. So you go down and, why are we doing this? Let's talk about this. Here's questions. And then the principals get to vote on that. So, I mean, it is, there are a lot of times of there are some meetings, but it's also just a way to rejuvenate yourself and refresh and kind of cleanse, you know, the daily stuff with other people.
And it's good to have that network. So if an emergency comes up, you know there's other people who are in the same kind of position. What would you do?
Right. And and you create a trust factor. So, mm-hmm. you know, if I'm dealing with student A or student B and I'm having that conversation with, you know, another networking superintendent in the area, my trust is that they're not sitting down with their secretary or their administrative team and going, what's going on at West Holmes? Listen to what the superintendent asked me. And that's also hard, too, when I go home. Like, when I go home, you know, my wife, well, how's your day? It was good. It was fine. I try to leave business at school with school because, you know, that interferes with your personal life. And mm-hmm. and my kids have known that their whole lives. So when my kids were born, shortly when they got into school, I was a principal. So they knew, you know, dad's not going to come home and talk about school. And then when they were in high school at New Philly, I was also the high school principal. So,
yeah,
I mean, they weren't going to sit at the dinner table and talk about Mrs. Smith and what Mrs. Smith did or what student A or student B was doing. They never asked those questions because they knew that they would either get a dirty look or some answer that they didn't want to hear. But my wife Kim's pretty good about it. And I mean, if I need to digress, she knows when I start talking, she knows I need to. And she's a good listener and understanding, and she doesn't press me for issues. And usually if I'm asking her, as a parent. So mm-hmm. like if we had kids, especially when my kids were in high school, I'd say, hey, read this book. They want to read this in the summer reading and tell me what you think. So she's a fast reader, so she would read it and go, yeah, I think it's okay. It had some different points. Okay, here's another one. Read this one.
So, how fast can you read them?
Right. So, I mean, she understands. She gets it. And, I mean, she knows when I go to Roadies or I go to Walmart, I'm going to see people from school. And I may stop and start talking, and she continues to shop. So
she's learned the rhythm.
Right. And my kids understand that. We went to Disney World one year when they were young, and I actually saw a teacher at Disney World that was teaching in my building. And they're like, we can't even go to Florida without you seeing someone you know. And I said, well, when you're with a celebrity, you're with a celebrity. So
I get that. I totally get that.
Yeah, but one of the things I would say is, you know, anybody that wants to be an administrator and or a superintendent, you have to have your core group, because they normally say that it is lonely at the top because there's not a lot of people to talk to. So, you know, talking to other superintendents in the area, just, you know, asking about them, how they're doing. We all need that at some point. So,
and you get involved in the community too. It's not just with the superintendents. You're not just sitting lowly in your school district. You get involved with the community and are out there as well.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, I go to the chamber meetings, you know, go to those every once in a while. And I'm actually speaking at the Rotary in next week, I believe. So I'm going to give them an update on the new building and some new things that we're going to kick off. One of them being is, you know, we're working with United Way to bring food bags to mm-hmm. West Holmes. So we're going to have a pantry at the high school, and we're going to have a pantry at the middle school, working with Love Inc. to get our food from the Akron Food Bank, which is really cheap. Mm-hmm. So then if kids or families need assistance, it's right there on our campus. And then we can pack bags and take them to the elementary for kids that need bags. So that's going to be a new program that we're kicking off next year for our kids. Anybody who wants to donate can donate to United Way, because United Way will have a special fund for West Holmes schools.
And you work with the YMCA for after school.
Yeah, that's another big thing. I think it's been a huge success at Millersburg this year. Mm-hmm. We did test it and try it. It's been a huge success in Millersburg, and I think they just put the flyer out for next year at the new elementary school. So we're going to continue that next year at West Holmes Elementary School. So any kid in the district K-5 can participate in it. So a lot of parents, if you're dropping off a middle school kid and you have your elementary kid with you and you know you got to go to work, you can pull right down that driveway and drop them off at 7 o'clock at the elementary. And at 8:30, we'll either get them to the cafeteria to eat or we'll send them to class. And then there's after school from, I think, 3:30 to 6. So if you don't get off work till 4:30, 5 o'clock, you don't want them coming home on the bus and being at home by themselves, you know, you can hook up with the YMCA and they'll help them do their homework. They'll have some activities for them. So another great opportunity to connect with the community.
And because the school is a part of the community as much as the community is part of the school.
Yeah, I will say, you know, back in the day, you know, where there wasn't school activities on Wednesdays because mm-hmm. of church activities, because the school was the center of the community. I still believe that in West Holmes, the school is the center of the community. And hopefully we'll continue that with one campus that, I mean, I understand we're losing to Lakeville, Nashville, Kilbuck, and Millersburg, but we're still one community school.
And it just brings it all together, but safely apart yet too.
Yes, yes, yes. They are, there is some distance, so yes.
And with that, it's kind of time to wrap this up. Is there anything we really missed about that people should know that you want to share, or you think we pretty much covered it all?
I think we covered it all. You know, I'm more than welcome to come back at some point. And, you know, when people see me in the grocery store or Walmart or, you know, if you got a question, don't be afraid to ask, because, you know, I always say a dumb question is a question that's never asked. And you don't know, you know, what I always say to some of my teachers and even my kids, you know, you can assume the answer is always going to be no, but if you don't ask, you don't know.
It'll never be yes.
Yeah, right. So, no, I'm always open to conversation, and I'll be as honest with you as I can and tell you what I can. That's some things. The other thing that some people don't understand is, like, you can't – there's so much I can share because there's confidentiality and things of that nature.
And
so
that,
like,
goes with kids.
Yeah, when they you know, I know you're telling me – you're not telling me something – you need to tell me. Well, I can't tell you. So, but you'll find out through the grapevine, because people talk.
But also part of being in a small community.
And it's not coming from me. As long as it's not coming from me, I don't, yeah. There's just certain things that I can say and can't say. And like you say, talking about the future, I mean, I do have goals. And you know, once the building, the K5 building is done, yes, I've got another project that I'd like to start. There's other issues that I think that are important to West Holmes that I think we need. And I've shared some of them with some people, and they're excited. So if I can get those off the ground and rolling, and, you know, as people say, before the other person or before I leave, because if I don't start it, the next person might not believe it. So they might not have the same vision or star direction of where I want to go or where I think West Holmes should go. It may never get done. That's all I got for you.
Well, thanks so much for joining in with us here for Focus Fridays. It's been very enlightening.
You're welcome.
That was West Holmes Superintendent Eric Jurkovic for WKLM's Focus Fridays. I'm Melissa Patrick. Focus Fridays has been brought to you by Hobbrins Insurance, Holmes Siding, Rhodey's IGA, Millersburg Electric, Pomerine Hospital, MRV Siding, and Millersburg Tire. Make sure to join in each week for Focus Fridays here on WKLM. If you happen to miss an episode of Focus Fridays, you can go to the website, WKLMFM.com, and click on the Focus Friday icon, and then on the episode that you missed from there. In the next episode of Focus Fridays, we join in with the Ohio Director of Agriculture, Brian Baldrige. It's all here on your hometown radio, 95.3 WKLM.